Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got James, Beth, and Melissa here with you. We wish you a great good morning out there. Happy Monday, everybody. Got then eight right stories, good stories of the day, and some great local stuff we want to touch on coming up. But you know how this goes. Mondays, 10:06, it's time to open up the kitchen. Ladies, the floor is all yours.
All right. So it is Monday, as James has said, and the kitchen is open. Today we're going to talk about a much confused vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Is a yam a sweet potato or is a sweet potato a yam? Answer? Neither.
Oh.
They are two totally different vegetables. So with it now being November, many households are gearing up for one of the biggest food-related holidays of the year, Thanksgiving. So the candied yam dish is one of favorite among many family dishes, but more often than not, that dish has been called by the wrong name. So we are going to delve into the truth of the differences between yams and sweet potatoes and why they are so often mislabeled on our tables and in the grocery store. So what is the difference?
Well, the sweet potato is a root tuber, and it's native to Central and South America. It's only distantly related to what we know as the potato, but they come in a variety of colors ranging from orange to purple and even white. Can you imagine having a purple sweet potato casserole on your Thanksgiving table? That would add some color.
With marshmallows.
Yeah, yum. So they are actually in the same genus, Ipomea, which also contains the garden flowers, morning glories. So sweet potatoes are high. Yep. So they're more of a flower, I guess, than what you would think. Sweet potatoes are high in potassium and fiber and contain a good amount of vitamin C and vitamin B6, as well as magnesium, iron, and calcium. They have a long and fascinating history dating all the way back to ancient Polynesia in AD 1000 to AD 1100. So in Central America, domesticated sweet potatoes were present at least 5,000 years ago. So when you're eating a sweet potato, you're eating history. They are mostly propagated by stem or root cuttings or shoots called slips that grow out of the tuberous roots during storage. True seeds are used for breeding only.
I've never, and we planted potatoes very rarely when I was growing up and doing a garden with my mom. But yeah, we never used seeds for potatoes.
Yeah, you always just plant the potato.
Right, yeah. Either the eye of the potato or the root that comes out.
Yep.
So now yams are totally different. They're a tuber of a tropical vine and not even distantly related to the sweet potato. They're actually related to lilies and grasses.
Again, flowers.
Flowers, but different flowers.
Mm-hmm.
They originated in Africa and are commonly eaten in Latin America, West Africa, and the Caribbean. And they can grow up to 6 feet in length and weigh as much as 150 pounds.
Wow.
That's crazy. But they're usually harvested between 11 to 22 pounds. You know, we got to keep it under control.
Reasonable.
Got to be able to carry it back to the farm. So the edible part inside can vary in color from off-white to purple, pink, or even red, depending on the variety.
Wow, again, very colorous.
Mm-hmm. There are over 600 species, 10 of which are cultivated, and 95% of these crops are grown in Africa.
Wow.
So they're pretty similar to sweet potato as far as nutrition goes. They're high in potassium, vitamin B6, fiber, and vitamin C, as well as manganese. It was honestly difficult to find the ancient history of yams since they are so intertwined with sweet potatoes. But on one website that didn't make us want to pay for the history book, stated that they have discovered artifacts in West Africa that lead researchers to estimate that yams have been in use since 50,000 BCE, before Common Era, or the Upper Paleolithic Era.
That's a really long time ago.
Yep. So yams are propagated from whole seed tubers or tuber portions.
Okay. So where did the confusion between yams and sweet potatoes start? Because we kind of interchange them, don't we?
We do.
Well, this goes back to the transatlantic slave trade, unfortunately, when European slave traders would transport ships of slaves to the Americas from Africa. Yams were easy to transport by ship because of their long shelf life, and along with black-eyed peas, were often what they used to feed captives during transport. So once here, though, yams were not readily available, and some scholars theorize that slaves used sweet potatoes as a transfer food, which allowed them to preserve their traditions and spiritual practices in the face of their captivity and abuse.
Yeah, it was a way for them to have a tie back to their home. With that's what they refer to as transfer foods, foods that we put a lot of spiritual meaning and keep up our cultural traditions with.
Right.
And when you can't get a specific food that was grown in your home area in a new, you know, world, which is where they were transported to, they had to find ways to still have that connection. And
we still do that with substitutes to try to make sure that we can continue the meals that we enjoy, even if we can't find a specific ingredient for it.
Right, right. Well, and then the two vegetables were further confused in the early 1900s. Researcher Julian C. Miller developed a new variety of the sweet potato at the Louisiana Experiment Station, which they called yam, to differentiate it from the other varieties of commercially grown sweet potatoes on the market. It had a creamier, less stringy flesh and more tender skin. Now, growers in California are working to drop the term yam to help stop the confusion, and the USDA requires yam to be accompanied by sweet potatoes in official descriptions.
There we go. So we know exactly what we're getting.
But you know what? I was at the grocery store this weekend and saw sweet potatoes. Guess what they were called?
Yams.
Yep. And they're absolutely not.
They're not. But no. That's what we all think about. When we think of yams, it's actually the sweet potato that we're looking at. So since we all know lots of recipes for sweet potatoes, we're going to focus on yams rather than the sweet potato. Because even though they are not readily available in most U.S. grocery stores, they can still be found at Asian grocery stores and other ethnic food markets. And they can often be bought online as well. So what are some of those recipes?
So true yams have a mild, earthy taste, and they're really starchy. So they actually taste almost like a potato, but they have a bit more texture to them.
So they can be sliced and boiled and served with a sauce or gravy, much like potatoes.
You can roast yams on an open fire or on the barbecue grill.
They can be made into fritters. They can also be mashed, formed into cakes, and then fried.
This one is interesting. You can pound a yam after boiling it to produce a thick, starchy paste, which is then turned into a smooth and stretchy dough known as the traditional pounded yam, locally called ayan or fufu.
Okay.
It's eaten with traditional sauces, stews, and soups. So think like, it's like a dough, so you can turn it into just about anything.
Almost like a lefse, maybe.
Kind of.
Which is made out of the starch of, and usually mashed potatoes. So there you go. Yams can be cut into wedges, strips, or thinly sliced and made into yam fries, wedges, or chips. I think we found a way for James to try the yams.
Somebody say fries. Sorry.
You can also coat it with egg mixture before frying to make them a crispy snack.
And then there's also yam porridge, yam hash, cheesy yam gratin, and it can also be added into baked goods. So think potatoes, and you can probably make it with yams and have a similar result.
Yeah.
Did you say yam porridge?
Yeah.
Yam porridge. Interesting. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay.
That was a real out of left field. I wouldn't have expected that.
That's one of the things that we want to do with the show is bring some education out there.
So while yams are more similar to potatoes and what you could do with them, you can't necessarily say the same thing about sweet potatoes.
That's true. Actually, sweet potatoes can be used more similarly, I think, to squash.
Yes.
Than to potatoes. So think, you know, sweet potato squash and think yams, potatoes.
Which is not the connotation we have all thought of, at least me, for my whole life. I thought a yam was a sweet potato.
Right. So, especially this time of year, it's good to know the difference.
Indeed. And I think with that, we shall close the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Kitchen closed for another week. Nice job, ladies. Nice job. That was really fun. That was really cool. Very educational for me. I don't honestly know if I knew any, like, a lot of that before going into it. Just being genuinely honest with the audience. There was a couple of things there I was not familiar with, especially yam porridge. Never heard of that one before. I am looking forward to trying yam fries, though. I will definitely try. Thank you so much for that, you guys. I appreciate all the work you two put into that behind the scenes. Thank you for that. I want to wrap up the segment talking about something coming to our area this Friday, Veterans Day Spaghetti Dinner. Ooh. This Friday, November 11th from 4:30 to 7 over at Donald J. Knuth Memorial Hall at VFW Post 2534 at 2711 Redden Road in Wisconsin Rapids. $9 all-you-can-eat dinner. Includes spaghetti with marinara or meat sauce, dinner rolls, salad, a sort of dressing, a sort of desserts, milk, coffee. Takeout will be available at the door. Limited takeout will be available at the door. In honor of Veterans Day and the men and women who gave them, who have given of themselves in the service of this great nation, please join us as we come together and enjoy a meal. There'll be a cash bar with sodas, beer, and wine that'll be available on the premises as well. Any chance to support our VFW, yes, to support our soldiers, I hope that everybody is taking it. Here is one you can do that is delicious.
Yes.
There's a lot of great ways to support our soldiers. Not always a great delicious way to do it. This is a delicious way to do it.
Especially all you can eat.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that. Isn't that one of the greatest phrases in all of existence?
Yeah.
All you can eat. It's just such a great phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Veterans Day Spaghetti Dinner this Friday, November 11th, 4:30 to 7 at VFW Post 2534 at 2711 Redden Road in Wisconsin Rapids. $9 all you can eat. Enough said. That's going to be a fun one. We'll talk more about this as we get closer to Friday. Just want to let everybody know about that one. Make sure to bookmark. Your dinner plans for Friday are covered.
Dinner's covered.
You ain't even got to worry about that. It's all covered for it. We will take a break. We'll come back. Got a quite a few, actually, that ain't right, weird stories. Also some good stories of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what other trouble we can get ourselves into. It is Beth, Melissa, and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And I got to say, this is a that ain't right story.
Okay.
Now, other people can go ahead and answer this how you'd like and everything, but I got to say, I think it is. A bunch of high school students in El Paso, Texas, took the SATs on October 27th, but now dozens of them will have to take it again after their tests got lost in the mail.
Oh no!
It is 2022, and this still happens. Still happens. At least two students happened to see the tests blowing around on the road while they were driving, and one of them got it on video. UPS issued an apology and said that they've been working with the school to recover as many tests as possible. Possible. But last we heard, 55 test sheets were still missing. So all those kids will have to retake the SAT next month.
It could be good or bad, you know, because if you didn't get enough sleep or you felt like you didn't do your best on it, now you've got a second chance.
Right.
And I'm hoping it's for free, because usually don't you have to pay for take those?
Yes.
So
you have to pay for that. You have to get transportation to the test site, because often they're not held at your high school.
This is true.
That's a huge requirement for students who can't necessarily afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had to go to Point to take mine. And I remember how nerve-wracking it was. Since I've been out of high school, I've noticed I'm completely different than I was in high school. In high school, I could study. I didn't mind engaging in class. But when it came to a test, if it was a test on James J. Maloff, I don't think I would have gotten more than 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was something about taking a test that just didn't work for me.
Right.
And it wasn't pressure. I didn't feel pressure. I felt
anxiety.
Yeah,
it didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like those things. Although I understand where you're going with that and everything, because that's usually what we do. I was not confident about my intelligence, and so I second guessed every single thing on that test. Every test I took.
Oh, that's why I hate multiple choice, because I can always reason out why each answer would be the right one.
Yeah. In college, I noticed I was very different than that.
Mm-hmm.
In college, I felt much more confident with my answers, and so my test taking was not nearly that anxiety doking and inspiring and everything. But yeah, this is something. Boy, this is a story you're going to tell, that's for sure. I guarantee you, every one of these kids, anybody in their life knows about this, because they've been complaining about it since it happened.
Yeah, and was it UPS that...
UPS issued the apology, so I'm guessing.
They should be the ones paying for the transportation, the tests, everything, to make up for losing them, because it wasn't the student's fault. It wasn't the school's fault.
Well, and I don't want to get too into the weeds with this, but I'll say accidents happen too.
Right.
So I'm not going to completely. We've got, a lot of people that are waiting any second to rip on postal services mm-hmm. or any of these business these people, and they're doing jobs not a lot of us want to do or willing to do and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And most of them are not treated that great by their employers. So I don't know. It's one of those things where, yeah, you messed up and there needs to be accountability for it. So as far as UPS paying for these tests, mm-hmm. That kind of thing, I think that's a great idea. I don't know really what else you can do. It's one of those situations where you want to do more, I imagine, but it's not like you can give everybody gets a passing grade. You know, there's not like
this. It doesn't quite work like that for that particular
test.
This is an example where it should be free to take the test. If it's a requirement to be able to go on for more education, you shouldn't have to pay for that.
I honestly wanted to kind of get to that point at some point in this. Yeah, I think that part's a little ridiculous. I understand why. I understand economics. Mm-hmm. I'm an adult. I get it. But I do think that there are certain things that we could, we got to choose our battles on. And asking kids to, Melissa hit it on the head right away. There was a point where I probably wouldn't have gotten to take my SATs, which means I wouldn't have been able to apply to colleges, which, you know, and all those things. And granted, I didn't go to college, like a four-year college kind of thing or anything. But even the college that I did out at UCLA mm-hmm. would not have happened without my SATs.
Exactly.
I needed that, even for acting stuff, mm-hmm. you know, or yep. just scholarship-based things. And I do think that even if you're not planning on continuing your education, I think the SATs are a good thing to take. It's really one of your last tests to kind of take a look back at your, you know, learning
career. Yeah.
Right. And say, hey, how do I rank out of it? How did I come out of this? You know, that kind of thing. It's not to say that it is a equivalent of your intelligence.
No.
I know plenty of people who had great SAT scores who have done some of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen a human being do.
Really smart people who did poorly on the SAT
and
because
that would be me.
They had
right.
test anxiety and testing is it's a different animal than actual learning.
There are neurological issues as well. I mean, I had undiagnosed ADD, and one of the issues with ADD is time management and then mm-hmm. the extra pressure that you feel when you are timed, and that
right.
slows down your processing even more. So it would take me longer to do it. So, you know, I'm not unintelligent, but I scored less than 1,000 on my SATs.
Mm. Yeah, and it's I think that this all leads me, and all this leads me back to something I haven't thought about in a while, but is there a better way to do this than SAT scores? Or are we continuing to just do it just because it's easy, it's what we've always done, it's easier to do than try to fix it?
Mm-hmm.
I think of the rating system. We're still using the Nielsen ratings to rate things, even though all of us understand that streaming services have taken over the majority of households. The statistics show they've taken over the majority of households.
Right.
Doing a rating system based on that is kind of archaic. It doesn't really, you don't really get true numbers. You're not going to get the true information you want. It's just basically, so I'm at this major network and I can go to this advertiser and say, hey, look at the numbers I'm drawing. Give me money. The SAT scores should be, things like this should be better than that. Not that we're just doing it again, going back to changing a tire. I mean, mm-hmm. Are we just doing it this way because it is the best way to do it? And even though it hasn't evolved in a long time, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or is this something we really need to take a serious look at? You guys know this better than I do. And Melissa, being from the education system in recent years at least 10 years at least, and Beth, you having younger kids in mm-hmm. school, I didn't know this, and for a while they grade stuff so differently now.
Mm-hmm.
There's all that stuff. I mean, we've evolved so many things about the education process, but yet SATs are still right there, just sitting there, same as they've always been. I'm asking the question. I honestly don't have any answers, and I don't know.
Right.
But I'm very curious to know if there is better.
Well, that's something that has been talked about a bit, and it definitely needs a lot more attention.
Mm-hmm.
We have an obsession with testing in the education system right now that really needs to be looked at, because I personally think that it has caused more harm than good.
Absolutely.
For our students. Testing takes a ridiculous amount of time and effort, and it takes away from actual learning time that those students they're put through a stressful situation where they're like, well, I have to do good or what? My future is what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of that time and effort by not only the students, but the school personnel and the staff at a school to set up testing areas. I mean, there's a whole lot behind what goes on in testing in schools that most people don't even think about or know about.
And I'm asking this as a general question, not necessarily this is how I feel, because I empathize with people that get anxiety from taking tests and everything. Part of the purpose of schooling is to help kids be able to become great adults, mm-hmm. and put into society, whether with their education and all that. But part of the process is also so much human learning we do, interacting with each other, how to talk to each other, all those things, and how to handle pressure. This is not the only time in your life you're going to feel in being a pressure situation. Mm-hmm. It's a lot safer for it to be in a school, in a classroom, than your first time you're dealing with a pressure situation is out in the real world. I wonder how much that is key to our development, our growth. Because there's something else that gets missed in this conversation, and this happens with almost any part, anything we're talking about in society with this kind of stuff. Who are the people that care about childcare?
Right.
Who are the people that care about this subject, that subject? Well, if it affects you. Mm-hmm. The older we get, the less we seem to care about the youth, the less we seem to care about the education system and all that. And we don't look at it nearly as strong enough as we should as adults. We're failing that. We're not, and I'm not saying that all the schools are bad and everything's horrible and all's broken. I mean, we're failing it if we have not addressed it, if we have not looked at this more. Mm-hmm. I haven't even gotten into school shootings. I'm not even gonna get into that. But that's a whole other thing that we need to be focusing on and need to be working on as a society. I'm not talking two people just barking at each other back and forth about what they believe is the perfect way to do things or something. I mean having conversation, having open dialogue and figuring this out. I read some information this week and that really blew me away. It turns out kids are the future.
Really?
Yeah. I just figured this out. I thought I lived forever, Beth. It turns out kids are going to take over one day.
Eventually, yes.
This is on us as adults to fix these things, or to see if they need fixing, mm-hmm. or at least to, you know, at least say that we did our due diligence and say, hey, you know what? Turns out SAT is the best way to figure this out. We did our homework. We looked through this. And you know what, guys? Turns out this is still the best way to do it. I'm sorry, but this is it. It turns out that taking a test is the right way for people to learn and grow and see how much they have retained information-wise, or it's not. The only way we're going to know is if we really dissect these things. We really, really get into it.
Well, and have good conversations about them, not just bashing each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and education is about learning how to take in information, process that information you've taken, and then be able to share it in a way. And not everybody's able to do that in the same way. You know, we think of standardized, that means everybody has to be cookie cutter. But no two people are. No, everybody is an individual. So the way that we're able to communicate what we know and what we've learned may be different. For some people, maybe taking a standardized test that's true and false or multiple choice is the way to do it. For others, it may be just sharing verbally. Others, it may be writing an essay. We need to be able to account for the ways that we communicate.
Mm-hmm. And the differences that we have as a people and as a society are what make us great.
Mm-hmm.
So if we expect everybody to fit into the same cookie cutter pattern, what does that say about what we want as a society?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with a That Ain't Right story. Someone showed up to a pawn shop, and I can give you guys 100 guesses, and you ain't going to guess what they showed up with. We got that coming up for you and plenty more here at Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. 80s theme day.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of 80s songs
yeah.
kicking in here. That's great. Hope y'all are having a great start to your Monday.
Does that mean I have to get my hair to stand 3 feet
yes,
above my
yes,
head?
Yes, it does. It does.
Darn.
It means next Monday we got to dress in 80s gear. We got to all of them.
Stirrup pants are coming back. So you can do it.
It doesn't seem to be the way. I know one thing that's not in fashion, doing something like this person did. I'm not an expert on the economy or recessions or anything, but when people are pawning this kind of stuff, it can't be a good sign.
Okay.
This cannot be a good sign. Someone recently showed up at a pawn shop near Denver, and with a used coffin they wanted to sell.
Used.
This is the. I feel like this is the key word in this article here. Used coffin. The place is called Pastenwick's Pawn Shop, and they actually bought it, or technically, the seller traded it for a cash loan. I first thought only a grave robber would have used coffin, right? But thankfully, that is not the case. It's a transport casket, quote unquote, a transport casket.
Okay.
Used for moving a body from one place to the other. So no one's ever been buried in it, but still, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might almost be worse in a way.
It might be.
Like a used coffin, it's got one body that's used it.
Right.
It's got one
this
person.
This is true.
This sounds
like it might have multiples.
Yeah, definitely. If you're in the market, the pawn shop hasn't been able to sell it yet, so it's currently listed.
What are the residuals like?
Just $499, that's all. I mean, just $500.
Hey, that's pretty cheap for a coffin.
Yeah.
You might even be able to, you know, barter them down
used,
a little bit.
Well, it is used, Melissa.
True.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's got a little bit of nicks on it.
Got some wear and tear. You know, after the first time, it depreciates.
just like a new car.
There you go.
It is. There was, I forget what it was, but it was some years on back, and it was a famous person that they had dug up, and I don't even remember the details. I was a kid, but I do remember they pulled this thing up, and it's a nice sized coffin, and it's nice looking, but it's got this huge dent on it, like in the front.
Huh.
And I just I had to see that when I was 9 or 10 on the news, and since then I've been wondering what happened. How would that coffin get a dent in it? Obviously when they were transporting it probably happened. But I love that my imagination will not let this go, and the idea of some like mole like just digging and digging and it bumps its head against it or so. Oh man, what did I just run into?
That must have been some big moles.
Right. Yeah,
it's going real fast.
You don't see dents in coffins very often, you know.
No.
There's a part of me too that almost admires this person. I feel like it takes some
chutzpah.
To be able to do this, to actually go and try to sell this. I haven't done a whole lot of selling to pawn shops before, but I do where I grew up in Chicago. There was a number of them around, and you know, as kids, you bop around into these businesses and stuff, and I mean, most pawn shops too. Like, there's a. I don't want to say all pawn shop owners or anything. There's a judgment there with them, like with a lot of items.
Yeah.
And so I mean, that part of it plays into it too.
Can you imagine the negotiations that had to take place?
Yeah. Right.
Well, come on. What do you give me? 300. Well, but so and so could have been in here.
Right.
Maybe
300.
But no, it comes from this area. So.
Do you see this fine satin? You're not going to get this quality of satin anymore.
I gotta say too. I can't imagine doing something like this and not knowing it's gonna sell. That's not something I'm carrying back and forth from my house to the pawn shop.
Right. Well,
that's
and the
a risk.
You know, who's going to a pawn shop to buy their casket?
Yes.
So who's gonna go back in there and buy one?
It's one of those times when you're just bopping around in a pawn shop and you happen to say, hey, you know, I'm going to need one of those someday. This one's pretty cheap.
You know, I only came in here to browse, but I do need a coffin. I did. Although I don't know if you can be buried in this. I don't know if this is the type of coffin you can be buried in. I don't know a lot about the transportation coffin. I don't know.
It doesn't. I don't think it matters. It's the vault that matters.
There you go. Yeah.
In Wisconsin, at least, for sure, you have to have a vault. If you are buried in a graveyard,
somebody could have a very authentic Halloween decoration. Right
yeah,
there.
There you go.
Well, that's
400 clams.
There you go.
Can be yours.
I mean, some people, the what they spend on the, I mean, those life size skeletons
aren't cheap
or anything either. So it seems like there are certain holidays where we will definitely go. There is no price for the item that we want to put in our front yard. Halloween, Christmas, maybe 4th of July a little bit, maybe a little of that, but not nearly as much as those two big ones.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right.
And are those the only two? Like, I know we decorate other times a year and stuff, but those
Easter.
Are the two big.
People, some people do every season. It's, I think it's just a personal preference.
Yeah, that's true. I do like the idea of walking into this pawn shop, seeing that coffin, like, well, let me test this out. See if am I too tall for this thing? I'm 6'1". I'm very tall and lanky. I got to make darn sure if this is. I don't want to be. Look, I'm not going to spend eternity with my knees and my chin. You know, I won't be cramped. This is the one time.
Sound like a good time?
No. It feels like a little. Actually, none of this applies to me because I will be cremated. I plan on being cremated, so I'm not going to. I don't know. I can't think of a weirder item that I've heard. I know there are. I know there are plenty of them.
Mm-hmm. That one's pretty out there, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Did either of you ever watch that Pawn? I think it was called Pawn Stars. TV show.
I've seen a couple episodes.
Yeah, I saw it a little bit. I watched it a little bit here and there and everything. I wasn't a religious watcher, but I watched enough episodes to remember the. Do you guys remember the old man, the owner, the guy who started the shop and everything, the grandpa or whatever? Mm. I want him to be the guy that gets this item in. I want it. Everybody else was kind of cool, like a little mellow and everything. He was a little bit like, I've been doing this too long. I've seen literally every item.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a buy or sell. Like, in or out, man. Like, in or out. Like,
almost be worth it to go to that pawn shop, buy that coffin, and go take it to that guy.
Yes. Road trip.
There
road
you go.
Trip,
yep.
Everybody.
There you go.
Team building exercise.
Excellent.
Right here.
Yes.
Everybody on the bus.
One of the more morbid ones we decided to go with. Yes. Let's just do the axe throwing. I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
I feel like
kind of in the same vein.
A little, yeah.
Like a lot of things around here, I'm going to see Melissa on this one. I think she's got it right.
The challenge is if you do the axe cutting thing, that could be the prelude to needing the coffin.
Yeah.
So, got to be very careful,
line, guys. No, James, you can't move the axe.
We'll take a break right there. We'll come back and take you to the top of the hour, wrapping up the show with some other Betty Wright stories, great stories of the day, some local stuff we want to touch on as well. Beth, Melissa, James, here with you on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you, going to take you to the top of the hour, get you ready for Playmakers at 10:05. Be sure to join us for that. It's going to be fun. Got Randy Paul in with us today.
All right.
We'll take a look at, of course, local high school sports as well as Wisconsin sports, and just branching out from there. Get your sports thoughts and feelings ready for Playmakers coming up at 10:05. Brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Of course, Quality Plus going to be joining us this Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Yeah,
be listening for that, everybody. I don't know if this is so much of that Ain't Right story. It's just kind of funny and weird. And I don't know. Both of you have shopped at thrift shops before, right? You guys do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's something I've always enjoyed doing. And I know that it has become something that has become really, really popular with the younger generations.
Right.
And I think that's cool. There's so many great items you can find in those stores. And they're repurposed.
Yep.
You know, so many different layers to this. We've talked about it enough, I think, that it's pretty understandable of why these are a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the weird items you find.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I worked at Goodwill for about 6-7 months, maybe. I thought I understood, like, Goodwills, thrift shops, those kind of things. I've been going into my whole life. Not until being behind the scenes did I truly understand all the weird, wacky things that get brought to these places. I do want to make a note of, especially going forward here, when it comes to Goodwills, thrift shops, those kind of things, if you don't want it, think about if they are going to.
Right.
It is such a waste of time for them to have to throw these items away, and all it does is slow things down for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's greatly appreciated. If you think about these things, it's not a garbage dump, everybody. It's supposed to be to help people out. If it's a pair of jeans that are in tatters, chances are only a teenager in California is going to want them or something. You got to think about this stuff a little bit before we donate them. And think about if you really want to donate it, because this item that this couple has, I don't know if I would have wanted to donate it. A couple bought a scooter at a 99-cent store, and it came with a user manual that is so senseless, it's hilarious.
Okay.
Here are some of the notices and warnings. First, it says, don't close fire.
Don't close fire.
No, I'm pretty sure it meant don't leave it close to a fire. But they obviously... They didn't, you know, they didn't. Mm-hmm. There are grammar and misspellings throughout this whole entire thing.
Translations are hard.
And this is an official owner's manual put together by the company and everything. Must company with adults. When baby is riding, the protecting people should company to ensure the safety. When riding, please keep the speed under the walk speed.
Wow.
Please ride on the plainness aground. Oh, and that is with all those S's, everybody.
Oh, no.
Please ride on the plainess ground. Please ride on the plainness ground. Please don't ride on the forbidden place and ride in rainy day or on the slide road.
On the slide road. I want to see a slide road. That could be fun.
I want to know what this forbidden place is. Like, slow down. What's this forbidden place and everything? And should I have known about this earlier on?
James, I can tell you a little bit about the forbidden place. If you really want to know.
Yeah, off air.
And I can tell you how to avoid the forbidden place.
I'm going to take some notes, Beth. Okay. Don't make the hands and legs around the wheel and the turning part.
Make them elsewhere.
An official magazine, official instruction or guide that is saying turning part. It could even say wheel or handlebars. Like mm-hmm. you could.
That's funny.
This is really bad. Who okayed this instruction manual? Who
was I don't Google Translate.
Yeah,
that's who okayed it.
Yes. That's hilarious. I want to see more of these. I want people to start sharing more and more of these things. Can't be the only one. Can't be the only company doing this. I love that it's such a simple item, too. It's just a scooter. Like,
right.
It goes back, front and back. You know, there's no brake. There's mm-hmm. no. It's not like you even need an instruction manual. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe they were like, well, nobody's going to read this thing. So well, who cares? Let's just throw whatever in there. And then somebody actually read it.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a true That Ain't Right story. Since 1987, we've been hearing how pork is the other white meat. But fun fact, it's technically red meat.
Yeah.
It just tends to lighten up when you cook it. Something this lady definitely did not know. A woman in Raleigh, North Carolina, called 911 the other day because she ordered food from a barbecue joint and her pork had a slight pink tinge to it.
Oh, no.
The place is called Clyde Cooper's. And they've won a bunch of awards and have been around since 1938. So they know what they're doing. She complained and claimed her pork was undercooked, but the owner said it was perfect. And that's what pork looks like after it's smoked. She didn't believe him, left the store, called 911, and turned it into a big thing.
Oh, no.
She claims she called because they wouldn't give her a refund or exchange it for a chicken instead. But they say that's nonsense. They did offer to replace it, but she refused. And they even tossed in a free pie, a piece of chicken. Cops showed up and told her there was nothing they could do, but she could sue them if she wanted to. She ended up leaving a 1-star review on Google and deleted it later. She says she's still considering a lawsuit, though.
Wow.
Dear God.
Really? That's what your life is? That you...
What a complete waste of time that is. I really, like, has she ever had pork? Like, I gotta wonder. I gotta wonder if she's ever even had it before or anything like that.
Yeah.
Although, I will say, too, I think some people are always just looking for something to bark about.
Absolutely. You know, the slightest thing. But really?
Yeah.
Pork can be pink. It tastes good pink sometimes.
Yeah. It's okay.
Eat more chicken.
Want to die? A bunch of cows, really.
There you go.
We should mention that, you know, for journalistic integrity. We're now sponsored by cows. The Morning Show has been sponsored by cows now, so we should mention that. Good morning to all the cows out there.
Moo.
We did have some great good stories of the day go on, and some of them happened this weekend, Beth. We wanted to get to that real quick.
Yes, the Miss Wisconsin Rapids pageant happened, and so we are wanting to congratulate our new Miss Wisconsin Rapids, Maria Hartley.
Yay.
And this year was the first year that we had the Miss Outstanding Teen mm-hmm. in Wisconsin Rapids. And so we wish a congratulations to Ruby Marty, who was named the organization's first Miss Outstanding Teen.
Ooh, that's something to be the first.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Do you want to send a big shout out to Cassidy Sayers doing a fantastic job at this and so much fun to talk to. Yeah. Really enjoyed the time that she joined us on the air here and everything. Cassidy is going to go on and do great things. I have no doubt about that.
You know, it's got to have been a bittersweet moment for her.
Yeah. I can only imagine, literally, because I've never done anything like that, and just marvel at the kids that can do that stuff.
Right.
I really impressed you guys. Like, well done, everybody, all the contestants, everybody that was a part of it. A 20-year-old from Iowa is now officially the world's fastest clapper.
Wow.
His name is Dalton Meyer, and he's been practicing since elementary school. Go ask his parents. Guinness just verified he's the new record holder for most claps in a minute, 1,140.
That is fast clapping.
That's 19 per second.
Whoa.
My hands are too big. You gotta have small hands.
I have small hands, and I can't even do that.
I don't know how you did that. That's
incredible. Well, guys, I had to go away and try to clap that fast, and I couldn't.
Melissa.
I didn't want to make all that noise, but I was counting and counting. And
thank
I tried,
you for
I
saving our ears.
Good try, Mel. Good on you. Nice work. A woman in Arizona named Mary Flip. That's a great name.
Yes.
That's a great name. Mary Flip. She turned 101 years old last week, and she hasn't lost her zest for life. She danced and drank beer at her party. When someone asked what her secret is, she paused, looked at him, and said, tequila.
Nice.
Well, that was no flop for Miss Flip.
No, not at all.
That's good.
That's so good. A guy in Canada banged on his neighbor's door at 4 a.m. last week and saved them from a fire. They were all asleep and had no idea, but everyone made it out okay, including two kids, both parents, and their dog.
Oh, wow.
We just keep getting these stories almost every week of something like this happening with that. That's scary, but also really impressive that these people are doing this.
Yeah, and a good reminder, check your batteries in your fire alarm and make sure that they are properly updated.
Well, and they say when you change your clocks, change your batteries.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for that. And I just wanted to wrap up thanking our all my friends and family and the different people that have been the outpouring my family has received over the weekend and this morning. And in fact, the texts and emails we've gotten. I do appreciate all of you out there. Do want to mention one more time, if you or someone you know or do you even think is hurting, let them know 988-988. That is a suicide and crisis lifeline. It is there for you 24/7. You are not alone. Keep fighting and know that you are not fighting alone.
Yes.
Again, 988 is the suicide and crisis lifeline. Of course, we want to send a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Quality Foods doing this turkey giveaway with them. We had we grabbed a qualifier today. We'll grab more qualifiers as we go along. We've got the great Green Bay giveaway going on as well. All this stuff we'll be talking about throughout the week. Melissa, Beth, we wish you guys a great day. Enjoy yourselves.
You too, James.
Stick around for Playmakers coming up right here at WFHR. Well, you know what, Pam, you say it a lot better than I do. Why don't you go ahead?
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.